Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 6th of November 2018. I'm your host, Real Deal Quinn, discussing the world of sports and pop culture. As always, I'm streaming live here on YouTube. You can go to my YouTube channel, Real Deal Podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Certainly greatly appreciate it, all the subscribers and listeners that I have out there. You can also follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my Instagram account at Rillo Gerald Quinn. We're going to begin with the first five. Big news of the sports night. Thunder guard Russell Westbrook went down with an ankle injury against the New Orleans Pelicans. Oklahoma City would end up going on to win the game 122-116, but again, Westbrook goes down with an ankle injury. Now, again, it did not look as serious. Doesn't seem like it was as serious as it looked. Westbrook, I thought it was a knee, to be honest with you. When I first saw the replay online, I was watching the game live, but by the time I had heard about this, but it looked a lot worse than it than it seems to appear. It was not a knee injury. Luckily, it's only an ankle sprain. Now, you could be out a couple weeks, depending on the severity of the sprain, whether it's a high ankle sprain, because things tend to take longer to heal. But it seems like this is, maybe a typical ankle sprain. So maybe he only misses two or three games a week, a couple weeks. We'll see. Oklahoma City was playing well. Had a nice win tonight over Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, and was really starting to find their groove over the past couple of games. They had a couple of nice win over the weekend. So we'll see how long Westbrook is out. Of course, he has had multiple knee surgeries over the course of his career. Just came off a knee procedure during the offseason that caused him to miss the preseason and in essence the first couple of games, the first week of the regular season. So again, Westbrook goes down with the left ankle sprain. But again, it could have been a lot worse. Tennessee takes out Dallas 28-14. It was a bad loss for Dallas at home against a Tennessee team that nobody can figure out. I mean, Tennessee has wins over Dallas, Jacksonville, and Philadelphia. The Jacksonville game came at a time when Jacksonville was actually playing well. So that win doesn't look good now, but at the time, Jacksonville was 3-1. That was Jacksonville's only loss in their first four games against Tennessee, 9-6. So Tennessee is one of these Jekyll and Hyde teams that you can't figure out. They even a record of 4-4. There's going to be a lot of heat on Jason Garrett. Forget about Dak Prescott. The heat is going to be on Jason Garrett, to say the least, from Jerry Jones. Dallas falls at 3-5, two games behind Washington and a game behind Philadelphia. That'll be a major game, almost borderline must-win game for the Cowboys next Sunday night against the Eagles. Floyd Mayweather is going to fight Tenzin Nasuka. Now bear with me with this name. Tenzin Nasukawa in Japan. Now, I don't know. Again, everything with Floyd at this point is a money grab, despite being the fact that the guy is worth, in essence, maybe at least $300 or $400 million. I don't know what Floyd is doing with his career at this point. Now, his legacy is set in stone. He's one of the greatest fighters ever. But he's starting to become a caricature of himself. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It's one thing if you fight, one of these young and up-and-coming star fighters, or even fight Canelo again. But, you're fighting these UFC, UCF fighters, MMA fighters, and, over in Japan. I don't know if Floyd, clearly this is a money grab. But I don't know what Floyd is doing at this stage of his career, to be honest with you. Imagine if he lost to this dude. Now, he's still Floyd Mayweather. And I think at this point he's going to fight a guarantee. He's going to take a fight where he basically knows he's going to win. Like it's a guarantee. You know, he basically has no chance of losing. I think that's where he's at in terms of the type of fighters he's going to fight. But certainly, you know, the next thing to look out for in terms of this is how much money he's going to get from this fight. So I'm sure it's a bag. Bruce Arians wants to coach the Browns. Said that the Browns are basically the only job that he would consider right now or for the future. It would be a perfect fit for the Browns to get Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians is a tremendous coach. Bruce Arians. Who knows how much? Who knows what Andrew Luck's career would look like if Indianapolis had kept Bruce Arians and got rid of Chuck Pagano. They kept the wrong coach. Arians was the brains behind that offense. You saw what he did, in his stint with Arizona, getting to the NFC Championship. We know he can coach quarterbacks. Again, I think it would be if I'm Cleveland, I'm talking to Bruce Arians like right now. I think that would be an ideal hire to bring in Arians if he's willing to come out of semi-retirement. And finally, the MVP finalists came out in the American League. You have Mike Trout, Jose Ramirez, and Mookie Betts. One name that, for whatever reason, was left off was JD Martinez. I don't understand how JD Martinez, who produced more runs than any player in baseball. And again, if you want to know what, I don't get into all these saber metrics with baseball and war and nonsense like that. The stat that I look at from an offensive standpoint is runs produced. So runs produced is RBIs plus runs minus home runs. And by far, in a way, JD Martinez was the most productive player in all of baseball. I don't understand the love affair with Mike Trout being nominated or winning MVPs on a team that does not make the playoffs. That to me, if your team does not make the playoffs, I'm sorry, you cannot be considered a top MVP candidate in my eyes. If you want to be top five, but not top three. So JD Martinez first, a guy. Think about this: the guy hit 330, had 43 home runs and 130 RBIs. And he's not even a finalist for the MVP. Now, everybody knows Betts is going to win it. Fine. I have no issue with that. Betts is Boston's best player. Betts is one of the best athletes in baseball, period. Anybody at Roots of Boston knows that. But JD Martinez was the most productive player, in my eyes, in all of baseball this year, especially in definitely without question in the American League. So I don't understand how he was left off being a finalist for MVP. Again, should have been Jose Ramirez, JD Martinez, and Mookie Betts. 34 minutes, excuse me, 25 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast, Surreal Gerald Quinn. We're going to start a new segment. Probably next podcast, I kind of opened it up, introduced it tonight, which was a little late notice. So next podcast, we'll start it. For our next podcast, it'll be called Ash Rillo. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on DM me through Instagram or even on Twitter in terms of asking questions that you may have about the world of sports, pop culture, and what have you. And I will read those questions over the air. Try to do my best to provide the answers, but I will not shout you out as far as put your name out there. You know, I respect your privacy. Now, again, if you want me to put your name out there, I will do so. Your name and city, but I will mainly just read the question and try reading and try to answer the question that you may have for me. Week 9 in the NFL is in the books. Everybody has now played at least 8 games. We're going to begin with the shootout down in New Orleans, a bit of a statement game made by the Saints, 45-35. Very entertaining game. The Rams at one point were down 35 to The Rams at one point were down 35-14. They made a comeback in the second half. I got the game tied at 35, and got the game tied at 35. Big fourth quarter for the Saints. Michael Thomas at over 200 yards receiving. Drew Brees does what Drew Brees does. Drew Brees now has to be considered a top three MVP candidate. Now, again, I thought the Rams are still. I still walked away thinking similar to what to when Kansas City lost to New England on the road, and I thought that Kansas City was a better team despite losing to New England on the road a couple weeks back. I still believe that the Rams are a better team than New Orleans, and I'm gonna tell you why. Number one, they're gonna get Aqib Talib back in a couple weeks. Getting that guy back is like adding one of the best players in the league on your team at that position in late November. You're literally getting one of the best cornerbacks in football in Aqib Talib. And that change, listen, the weakness of the Rams, they have one weakness, and that's their secondary. Peters has been average to bad. Joiner's okay. The rest of that, they don't get a pass rush. That secondary it becomes very, I mean, you can throw on that secondary. Everybody's lapped. Anybody with a decent passing game is thrown on that secondary. So the Saints carved them up. Aqib Talib will be the final piece of the Ram puzzle. He will be the reason why I think the Rams will be in the Super Bowl 52, 53. So I think that I still think the Rams are better. Give the Saints credit. Saints ran the ball well, made enough plays, made enough defensive plays down the stretch of the game. But it really wasn't about the defense. It was about Drew Brees, and about the Ram, and about the New Orleans running game. New Orleans running game, that was the difference. Again, this if you were going to circle any game that the Rams were going to lose to start the season, it was going to be this one. That place, again, the Saints could put 40 on anybody in that building. They are lethal in that building. We over the course of the Drew Brees tenure, along with Sean Payton. And again, you watch these two teams and the play calling and the just how creative. I mean, these might be the two best play callers, Andy Reid included, in all of football in terms of Payton and Sean McVay. Again, this is a beautiful thing to watch if you love offensive football. This was a great, great offensive football game. 80 points, just speed all over the place. A high level game. Get a Rams credit for coming all the way back and tying it up, but they came up short, 45-35. But again, the Rams need to leave without question. When they get him back, there will be a different defense on the back end. Sunday night football, you had the Green Bay fall into New England 31-17. The Aaron Jones fumble was big in this game because I felt like Green Bay stabilized the game after that goal line stand. So Cordell Patterson goes in for a touchdown, it gets reversed. Green Bay has a tremendous goal line stand. The teams trade punts. Green Bay gets the ball back, and they're on one of these little classic Aaron Rodgers drives, and then the forced fumble. And after that, New England took over the game and had the big fourth quarter, and Green Bay wasn't heard from. Again, New England, nice win for New England. Green Bay was right there, as far as I'm concerned. And watching Green Bay, as in comparisons to what you see out of Kansas City, what you see out of New England, what you see out of the Rams, what you see out of the Saints, it has to be just if you're a fan of Green Bay Packers, you have to be distraught watching other top offenses and some of the plays that they're running and some of the offensive schemes that they're running, while the Green Bay Packers seemingly run the most basic, just not predictable offense imaginable. Now again, we hear all we've always heard about how complex their offense is. Just because it's complex doesn't mean it's creative. Okay. So don't confuse that creativity for it, you know, don't confuse that, the creativity in terms of complexity. Don't get those two confused. Again, Kansas City, New England, you can call them gadget plays. They, Kansas City and New England and the Rams will do anything offensively. I mean, offensively. Look out. I mean, the Rams, you know, New Orleans uses, lines up Drew Brees in the receiver to be a receiver sometimes. So, I don't know, again, if I'm Green Bay, you are wasting one of the great talents to ever play the sport at any position, let alone quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. I mean, some of the throws he made last night, even in a game where he struggled, you know, barely completed 60% of his passes, he basically has to make every perfect throw for them to have a chance. And that organization, they're going to look back and they're going to have one Super Bowl and one Super Bowl appearance in Aaron Rodgers' era. And they're going to look back and say and be kicking themselves for years upon years thinking what could have been had they got him the right coach and more likely the right players around him. I think it's a little bit of both in terms of the personnel versus the coach. Now, I think Jones is a good player. Jimmy Graham is not what he used to be, but he's still an above-average tight end. Davante Adams is a very good receiver. Not great, but Davante Adams is a legit number one. He's a legit number one. He could be a number one. You don't have to have a superstar player to be a number one receiver. They have some nice young, younger receivers that are developing. They have enough offensive talent. But what the problem with Green Bay is, as in comparisons to some of these other teams, they have not gone for it. Like New England went for it with Randy Moss and Wes Welker. The Rams went for it this year with all that the free agents and offensive talent that they got, some of the trades that they made, getting Brandon Cooks. So at what point is the Green Bay Packers or the Green Bay Packers going to just go for broke and say, hey, we're going to put all our chips on the table. We don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be at this level. The Washington football team took a hard one yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons. I did not come into this game. I did not like this matchup because I understand what Atlanta can do offensively. Why we know how bad they are defensively with the injuries, but that offense is still one of the better offenses, and that offense is still a legit top five offense in the National Football League, and Matt Ryan is playing at an MVP caliber level. He won't be considered for the award because of Atlanta's record, but Matt Ryan is playing at a very high level right now. They have weapons all across the board. Atlanta did whatever they wanted to against Washington's defense. And again, I've said this about Washington's defense over the course of the season. It is greatly improved from what they were last year. Last year, they were one of the worst defenses in the league. But what it is not, and what there isn't in the NFL right now, 2018, is a shutdown defense. It's nowhere near being a shutdown defense. Not even close. It's a nice defense. They make some plays here and there. Has a, you know, maybe a okay pass rush from time to time, but they are not. When you put that amount of talent on the field, They need at least, just like everybody else in the NFL for the most part, they need at least 25 to 28 points from that offense. And again, that offense gave you next to nothing. Now, to add insult to injury, you have one healthy offensive lineman right now. Laval, Sheriff are done for the season. Morgan Moses is banged up. Trent Williams missed this game. Who knows if he's going to be back next week. I think they need to get younger on the offensive line at this point. I mean, this is the second straight year in a row, the second straight year that you've had multiple guys on the offensive line banged up or banged up and done for the season. So that should tell you something that maybe it's time to get younger and draft a lineman with a second round pick. I'm not saying first round of pick, but you can get a lineman in the second round of a high caliber offensive lineman in the second round, and even go to free agency route at this point. It's time to revamp that offensive line. They cannot come back with the same offensive line in 2019. Also, for Washington, they lose Paul Richardson for the season. So a costly loss for Washington, but regardless of that, they are still in first place, one game ahead of the Eagles, two games ahead of the Dallas Cowboys, but they have a lot of issues moving forward with their offense. They signed a couple people today. They're going to hope to get Trent Williams back next week. They're going to hope to get that Morgan Moses is healthy enough to play. Ty and Seki will be starting next week. So if you can put a offensive line together with Williams, Moses, and then Seki and two others, that's your best bet. Well, I shouldn't say they still have Chase Roullier. So Roullier, Moses, Trent Williams, and Seki, and one other replacement. That's decent. You can still be effective somewhat with that particular line. The Sheriff injury is going to be a killer. That guy's a legit. He might be at this point in his career their best player. Might be their best lineman, to be honest with you. I know Trent Williams has the reputation, but Trent Williams is getting no longer than two. Sheriff is, I think, probably their best player. But that is life in the NFL. You should be able to replace anything outside of your quarterback. Any injury outside your quarterback, you should be able to survive. So they're going to have to deal with it. Again, 5-3 at the end of 8 games. There's no Washington fan that would not have signed up for that before the season started. So we'll see what the second half of the season looks like. Bad news for Washington is they've already had their bye week, so they will get no rest moving forward for the rest of the season in terms of games being played. They're going to go back-to-back-to-back-to-back for the remainder of the season. Pittsburgh over Baltimore 23-16. Pittsburgh held Baltimore to 268 yards total. Excuse me, another big day out of James Conner. Baltimore, there's already whispers. I shouldn't say whispers, but If Harbaugh, the Baltimore doesn't make the playoffs, the bottom line is Harbaugh is going to be out of there, and I expect Flacco to be out of there with him. It's time for Baltimore they still have some good players on defense, but it's time. It seems like this is a perfect year for them to transition into the next phase of what they're going to do as a franchise. Like this, after this year, it should be. I like Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh's a very good coach, but at some point, you can be at one place too long. Bill Parcells always said, 10 years is more than likely the max. Harbaugh came in 08. So this is Harbaugh's 11th year. And again, Harbaugh's a very good coach, but Biscotti almost fires him at the end of last season. There's no way he survives a season where they don't make the playoffs. They were looking good at 4-2. They lost 3 straight, and it really began with that Justin Tucker miss against the Saints that would have sent that game into overtime. That they have not recovered from that missed kick. So Baltimore right now is on the outs as far as the AFC goes. Couple of other scores. The Chargers continue to stay hot, 25-17 over Seattle. Houston over Denver, 1917. McManus missed a game, possibly a game-winning field goal. Houston has now won six straight. Deshaun Watson, again, has been phenomenal since he came back. And again, he started out slow. Started out slow over the course of the season, but he I shouldn't say since he came back, but since he since they got on this six-game winning streak, he's been tremendous. Started out the season out slow, but he really has been an X factor in terms of what Houston has been doing, right? Houston has been doing over the better part of the last month or so. Again, I keep telling you, and I'll keep harping on this all season long, the said no one wants to play the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, they cut their kicker. Sturgis is out, rightfully so. He missed two extra points. It's two extra points, so he's out. They need to get that kicking game stabilized, but that team is loaded. I mean, no one wants to see them. If you're Kansas City, if you're Pittsburgh, if you are the Patriots, you not want to see that team in the playoffs. That team it can do. And again, Joey Bosa will be back before the season's over with. Probably, I'm thinking, probably after Thanksgiving, mid to late November, Bosa will be back. So that, you know, that will even free up things for Melvin Ingram on the other side as far as the pass rush goes. But again, that team has all types of weapons on basically at every position. You think about it, every position: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, cornerback, in terms of the defense, pass rushes. That is a loaded team, and they continue to play well, and they're off to a fast start. Normally, we've seen San Diego get off to these slow starts and then make a late run. It's not the case this in 2018. They are 6-2 and looking scarier by the week. So there you go with the NFL around the league. Again, there are four teams who have separated themselves in terms of where they stand. You have the Saints, the Rams, Kansas City, and New England, who are clearly the four best teams in football. Pittsburgh, San Diego, Carolina, I'm not a big believer in Minnesota myself. I'm still not off the Green Bay bandwagon as far as when you look at the they've played two of the best teams in the league in over the past couple of weeks, and they've been right there in both games where they could have won. Especially the Ram game. That was a killer. It was going to be tough to win in New England on a Sunday night. But the Ram game, they, you know, confident. Aaron Rodgers gets that ball back with 2 minutes left and one timeout, that he drives him down the field for a possible win against the Rams. But that's neither here nor there. Again, there are four teams that have separated themselves. Now, again, Carolina is very good. Pittsburgh has, you know, dust off the cobwebs and seeing and playing like Pittsburgh again. And of course, we've already aforementioned the San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers, who are a team that no one wants to see in the playoffs. So looking forward to week 10, some big matchups next week. You'll have some divisional matchups of note, but it is, you know, getting to the point to where, you know, NFL season really takes off around this time as we approach Thanksgiving. Again, it takes a whole new turn as we approach Thanksgiving and move into December. Got a chance to see mid-90s on Saturday. I was going to go see Halloween, but I'm sorry, I'm not like... It was a quick change of plans, so to speak. Quick change of plans. Decided I wanted to see mid-90s regard anyway. Quick movie. If you're a fan of mid-90s, if you're a fan of hip-hop, especially in that 90s, this is your movie. I saw the Rotten Tomatoes gave it like 76%. I would have gave it even higher. I think it was 85, anywhere from 85 to 90% in my book. Again, only an hour and 20 minutes. It was, you know, it was a movie for that that took you back to that time period. What are you going to, I mean, again, I didn't skateboard, but in terms of the music, in terms of like a coming of age story, in terms of just some of the things that went on and during the 90s, the culture, really was Jonah Hill really did a tremendous job at laying that out. It didn't really hold anything back as far as language, as far as some of the stuff that went on. Again, well cast and well, extremely well written. Jonah Hill said he did about 20 drafts of this movie, and you could tell the writing was the writing, the dialogue was spectacular. I highly recommend it. Matter of fact, I think to me, and this is just my opinion, I think it's the second best movie that I've seen all year. Sorry to Bother You, still the best movie that I've seen this year, but this is a so relatively close second. So again, hour and 24 minutes, which is rare these days, because most of these movies are going 2 hours, 2:15, 2:30 easily. So you get a movie that's an hour and a half, that's absolutely perfect. So I would definitely recommend that. As far as the college football goes, I mean, I would like to sit here and tell you I'm looking forward to the playoffs. Can't wait to December 30th, but I mean, is anybody gonna get within two touchdowns of Alabama? I mean, what Alabama did to LSU Saturday night should have been like a felony. Like that, it's not even fair. LSU is a top team. Like, you understand how good of a team LSU is? LSU could probably beat, outside of Alabama, could probably beat any other team in the country. Like, they made LSU look like a high school team. Like, you're talking about outgaining LSU 576 to 196. 576 to 196. It was reminiscent of that title game in 2012 when Alabama got a second crack at them and shut them out 21-0. It was very reminiscent of that game. But LSU was straight. LSU had a hard time crossing midfield in this game. And again, if you play Alabama, this is why Deshaun Watson was special. You have to have a big time quarterback. And I'm looking at these teams now. I know Michigan is hot right now, but I don't trust that quarterback against Alabama in a playoff matchup. I just don't. Georgia's talented, could have beat them last year, but Fromm and sorry, not good enough. The Notre Dame quarterback, he's okay. It's okay, but he's not playing on Sunday. You need somebody that's going to play on Sunday to deal with, to even have a chance against Alabama. Even have a chance. Now, Clemson has the coach. They have the pedigree. I don't know if the quarterback is ready for that type of, for that level of a game. Oh, I don't. I just don't know. I mean, the first time Deshaun Watson played against Alabama, I didn't know. So maybe, I mean, maybe he is. I don't know. But Clemson definitely has a talent. They have the defense. They have the coaching. They will not fear Alabama by any stretch of imagination. That's the only, like, whimsical hope of preventing Alabama from winning another national championship. Because with these other teams, there's nobody in the Big 12 that would sniff, that would come within 28 points of Alabama, including Oklahoma. They would kill Oklahoma. With the Oklahoma's defense, as bad as Oklahoma's defense. Now again, Oklahoma may have the quarterback. Murray could be a pro in a couple of years, but they don't, that defense. No one in the Big 12 plays defense. Alabama will put 60 on any team in the Big 12. And I don't think that, and to be honest with you, I don't think the Big 12 is going to come, it's going to sniff the playoffs. To be honest with you. They don't play any, they play no defense in the Big 12 at all. None. So it is Alabama's world. Again, I didn't think LSU was going to beat them because I didn't like the quarterback. But I thought that they would be able to make at least make it competitive in the fourth quarter. But game was over at halftime. I mean, you knew that game was, yeah. It got to a point where you said to yourself, they're not going to score. And that's what happened. Alabama was like, no, thank you. We're still Alabama. We're still, we are still the creme de la creme of college football, period. As far as the NBA goes, a couple things. One, as a Laker fan, and again, despite the embarrassing loss we had last night, I still haven't, I'm still not in panic mode, unlike, some others, namely a 6'9 Hall of Fame transcendent point guard who now runs the team along with Rob Pelinka in terms of Magic Johnson. I mean, Magic, I mean, please, I don't want to hear about this vote of confidence. Number one, what you found out today is that meeting between Magic and Luke Walton did happen. And it didn't take long. It wasn't hard for it to leak. And here's my thing about the Lakers situation. If you're Magic Johnson, you knew that this season was going to be a circus from a standpoint of what LeBron was bringing to Los Angeles. You have a number of young players on your team who need to play well for the Lakers to succeed. Do you really want to bring the energy of your coach, of you really not believing in your coach? Players can feel when a coach is on the hot seat or when a coach doesn't have the full vote of confidence from the organization. They can feed off that. It does not take long whatsoever. My point is, if I'm Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, you inherited Luke Walton. I'm going to Genie Bus and say, look, Genie, maybe Luke will be a good coach, but for this team with LeBron James, we're in win now mode. We need a guy who we feel is a championship coach right now. We don't have time to wait for Luke Walton to figure it out. And more importantly, he is not our guy. He's not our guy. I think the one thing I'll say about Luke Walton with the Lakers, minus besides what happened against Toronto, the team plays hard. The team plays hard. They've played 10 games, have had a brutal schedule. They've played one bad basketball game. And that was against Toronto last night, on Sunday night. So it's not a case where he's lost the team. They've played a brutal schedule to start the season off. So, what Magic told you, in essence, what he's in terms of saying we're not firing Luke Walton, is basically, yes, Luke might finish the season, but trust me, as we speak, we're looking for his replacement for the 2019-2020 season, period. That's what he told you. So, again, this is something that the Lakers do not need. Don't need this black cloud of a lame duck coach hovering over their heads, considered combined with the LeBron circus. They don't need that at all. You don't want that. You don't need that around your organization, and you don't need that in your locker room at all. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. If they get off to say they're like 6-10, if they have a losing record after November. Again, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka should have, in the offseason, got rid of Luke Walton and brought in their guy. Those players are not dumb. They know when a guy is on the hot seat. They know when you, as an organization, are not completely committed to the head coach. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Badil Podcast. I'm your host, Cyril Gerald Quinn. As always, thanks for joining me. This is the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is with no apologies. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to my podcast at Real Deal at YouTube. Real Deal Podcast. I'm out.